Can we give it up for the worship team real quick? Aren't they great? It's so good. All right, so funny story, since you told that story. By the way, Joe, I don't know how to say your last name. Villanueva. How do you say it? What's the Mexican soap operas? Oh, no. You're crazy, too. Isn't your last name crazy, too, Pastor Rich? Well, you are. Villanueva and Villanueva. Carne Adobada. Okay, and I don't know how to say any of these names. So funny. So you said this about driving. So today we go to this coffee shop. Terrible experience. I want to tell you where it was because I'm so mad about it. So we get on Yelp and we get our Yelp on. Come on, somebody. And he writes back, "Aren't you Jabin Chavez from Free Chapel? The owner." It's like deleting. Ah. He was so mad at me. I said, "Listen, sorry, but your coffee stinks." That's what I told him. But I'll delete the comment, and I deleted it. Anyway, that just happened today. That's funny. I feel like I had to confess. So I said, "Forgive me, but I forgive you for your terrible coffee." Okay. I'm in the IE. Come on, somebody. At the Rock. And I'm honored to be here. It's great also to see Pastor Luke, and thanks, guys, for having me. It's a real honor, and let's go to Exodus chapter 3. If you have a Bible, if you're new here, and you're going, "What in the heck have I walked into?" Well, we're just a crazy group of people that love Jesus, and we're definitely not perfect, as you found out. And we also found out today that our names are on our Yelp accounts, and but we're loved by God, and we've been forgiven. We're not perfect, but we are forgiven, and that grace is available to you, too. And so just pray that tonight's message will encourage you and tell you a little bit about Jesus. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1, and we're going to read quite a bit of scripture up front, so I hope you are okay with this, but I think it'll set it up right. This is Exodus chapter 3. We can start at verse 2. Moses is about to have a God encounter. And in verse 2, it says, "There the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a blazing fire from the middle of the bush. And Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. 'This is amazing,' Moses said. 'Why isn't this bush burning up? I must go see it.' And when the Lord saw that Moses was coming to take a closer look," notice that, "when Moses drew near to God, God drew near to him. God called to him from the middle of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses, here I am.' Moses replied, 'Do not come any closer,' the Lord warned. 'Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And when Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. And then the Lord told him, 'I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, ice cream and pizza and carbs, amen, and the land where the Canaanites and all kind of other ites currently live. Look, the cry of my people Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people out of Egypt." Notice that. God says, "I've seen it. I've heard about it. I've come down to address it. But it will be you that will do something about it. Because our God is a God of partnership. This is the God that we serve. If you're waiting..." Okay, I'll say it now. I'm going to say it at the end. God will never do what you can do. But Moses protested, like many of us. "Who am I? How can I stand before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead Israel out of Egypt?" And God answered, "I will be with you. I will be with you." Now, this is Exodus chapter 1. We're just going to go back a few chapters. Exodus chapter 1. Pharaoh said to the people, "Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Think about that. The people of God are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them. I want you to catch this. This is the enemy, the evil king Pharaoh says, we must stop them before they multiply. Before they multiply. Okay, one more scripture and then we'll be done. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child. Okay, I read all that. Let me give you this quote by Mark Twain, and then we're going to pray. Mark Twain said this, the two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why you were born. And I want to talk about your journey, your personal journey of destiny. Many of us think about destiny as a destination, and it is that, but it's 99% the journey to get there. Because if you get there, wherever there is, if you're single and there is married, if you're broke and there is rich, if you're sick and there is healed, if whatever there is, if you get there, but you never let God do what he was wanting to do in your life, you'll get there and you still won't be happy. Because you didn't learn what God wanted you to learn on the journey. And we curse the journey, we hate the journey, we rebuke the journey in Jesus' name. But it's the journey that matters. So I want to talk about your journey of destiny. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this moment. Thank you for every person who's here. I believe that none of us are here by accident, but we're here by divine appointment. And I pray that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, give Kobe one more win in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Have a heart. I don't care who you cheer for. Have a heart. One more win. Come on, in Jesus' name. Anybody like to people watch? Can I get a uh-huh from somebody? You like to people watch? I love to people watch. I love to people watch. I'm so rude. I love to people watch. My wife is actually an expert people watcher. We can be at dinner face to face, and I'm talking, and I'm communicating, and I'm telling her all my deep feelings because I'm a sensitive man. And I love Jesus. None of that's true. And so, well, no, it is true. I love Jesus, but I'm not going to share my feelings. Okay, you get it. Whoops. And so, I got jokes, okay? And so, but I'll look over at her, and she's just staring at the couple next to us. And she's going, what do you think they ordered? It's like, honey, they can hear us. They're right there. And it's queso, okay? What do you think? It's chips, babe. It's chips. It's queso. They're fighting, like so loud. They're fighting. Like she's just the master of it. Like just, you know, she's mad at him. I don't know what it is. I'm going to find out. They're 3 feet from us. And they're staring at us now because they know we're talking about them. But I actually love to people watch. I actually like going to the mall, not because I'm crazy about shopping, but I actually love to go to the mall and just people watch. And as my wife shops, I go to the food court. And I get an order of McDonald's fries. You can't eat McDonald's? Why not? It's bad for you. No, duh. You don't go to McDonald's for a good food decision. You don't go to McDonald's like, you know what? I want to improve my life today. You go to McDonald's because you've given up. But it's true. You know, and why do they put the calories? They shouldn't put numbers. They should just put poison after everything. Jamin, don't eat the fries. You know, if you leave it for 10 years, it'll stay the same. Yes. That's why you feel the way you feel after you eat the fries. You feel like something has died in you. It has. Okay, but I love McDonald's fries, and I love to post up with my fries and my Coke. Don't even talk to me about Coke. I know it's bad. And I love to watch people. Recently, I was watching a lady, and she walked by me, and she had a stroller, and I thought, how cute. Can't wait to see the baby. There was a dog in the stroller. I live in the OC. Come on, somebody. And I thought, sweet lady, you're crazy. Okay. Couple fries, couple of sips later. I I just think about how I eat McDonald's fries. I eat McDonald's fries like I'm punishing them. You know, like I'm angry, like, you're making me fat. You know, you don't eat one at a time. The fry. No, you, and you're mad. Because you're already mad at yourself. Why are y'all stuck up tonight, okay? But y'all know it's the truth, okay? And so, you know, a couple of boxes of fries later, another lady walks by. She had a leash, but she did not have a dog on the leash. She had a child on the leash. I love humans. I love them. They're crazy. Now, I'm not a parent yet, but and so I really shouldn't judge. I don't know. Maybe I'll be a leash parent or a stroller parent one day. God forbid. But, you know, I don't know. I haven't felt that pressure yet. But I got to thinking about this because I love humans. I love to think about humanity. I'm so interested in how we tick and how we think. And I thought about this question. What makes us different than the rest of creation? What makes us different than the animal kingdom? What distinguishes us? And when I thought about it, I thought of a lot of things, but it really came down to this. We can take something from the invisible and make it visible. Think about that, okay? I'm not trying to be Tony Robbins right now, but think about it. We can take something from the invisible and make it visible. Acts chapter 2 tells us we have this unbelievable ability to dream dreams and see visions. To see what is in the spirit and bring it into the natural. To dream the dreams of God and to release them in the earth. This is supernatural. This is absolutely given to us by our creative creator. We have this ability to create. We have an ability to dream. We have an ability to speak. We have the ability to see what is unseen and bring it into the scene. This is a gift from our creator. During the grand opening of Disney World in Orlando, Florida, a friend of Lillian Disney, Walt Disney's widow, leaned over to her and whispered, "It's such a shame Walt never saw this." And Lillian responded, "He did see it. That's why we're here." Moses, according to Hebrews 11, was not ordinary. His parents saw something in him. I want to submit to you that none of us are ordinary. That we all have the divine. We all have a gift from God to see and to believe and to hear and to speak. It wasn't that Moses was more special than any other child in his generation, but it was that his parents were able to see it. There are no ordinary people in the kingdom of God, but it does take faith to see what God wants to do in us and through us. And maybe you didn't have a parent or authority who could see greatness in you. Maybe you never had that who was able to see it and speak it over you and into you and pull it out of you. But I'm not here today to just say greatness over you, but I'm here to pull greatness out of you. It's in you. There's something in you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, that can see what other people cannot see, that can dream what other people cannot dream, that can say what other people cannot say. I'm telling you, we have an ability as the children of God to be creative, to be unique, to bring the kingdom of heaven into the earth, that we do not have to do what everyone else has to do, that we don't have to say what everyone else has to say, that we do not have to be a subculture, but we can be a counterculture that literally brings the kingdom of God into the earth. Friend, I'm telling you, we are on not an ordinary journey, but an extraordinary journey with Jesus. Can I get an amen from somebody real quick? Don't lower yourself to a way of living that is like everybody else. You don't have to be like every other young adult in your college or at your workplace or in your family. There will always be a crowd. I want you to catch this. There will always be a crowd who acts the same, talks the same, believes the same, wants the same, but never ends up finding the very thing they always needed. But then there are those, and I believe I'm preaching to those tonight, those who choose to believe God and choose to believe what God has said about them, breaking out of the fear of man, living a different life, being a light in a dark world, not being self-righteous, not being holier than thou, not being judgmental, but being full of the Holy Spirit, being full of the power of God, empowered by the Almighty to move culture, to impact cities, to populate heaven and to plunder hell. And I believe you are here today on purpose, not by accident, but God is divinely ordained you to be where you are for a reason. I can't read this quote and not think of this church. A light to a city. A beacon of hope. I mean, you drive onto this property and you just say, wow, this is beautiful. This is amazing. What is that? That is the divine in our pastors that was able to see something and dream of something and hear from something and then say something on behalf of God. And we're all here because of it. But friend, you can do the same thing. And because of this purpose that is in us, because of this gift that is in us, that is why there is an attack. Exodus chapter 1. Pharaoh attacked the Israelites. Now, I want you to catch this. I want you to catch this. Not because of who they were currently. Not because of what they were currently doing. But because of their potential. Because of who they were becoming. The attack was on their potential. God forbid the devil has more faith in your potential than you do. All right, I'm going to say it again. God forbid the devil. Think about this. Pharaoh, a type and shadow of the enemy, says, if I don't stop them, they've been in a season of addition. They're growing. Things are happening. But if I don't stop them soon, they are about to multiply. Maybe the reason all hell is breaking loose against you is because you are about to multiply. You're about to really move into some supernatural things. And some of you are going, I mean, why me? Well, I'm not even like a spiritual giant. I'm not even a pastor. I'm not even a leader. But I feel like all hell is breaking loose against me. Maybe it is because of where the enemy knows you are going. Why is there this battle in my mind? Why is there this struggle in my flesh? Why is there these temptations that have come out of nowhere? I mean, some of you have not talked to that girl in so long and you were doing so good and all of a sudden she calls you back. You almost forgot about her. Almost, fellas. Ladies, you were doing good. You were doing strong. You were holy. You were serving God. And then he calls you back and it's like, boy, Jesus, help a sister. Because the enemy knows where you're going. And he knows that you're about to enter into multiplication. You're about to enter into overflow. You're about to enter into some of the greatest things. And here's what I want to say. And it's not for everybody. But if you've ever been under attack, it is not necessarily for where you are, but where you're going. And the reason you can't quit is because of what you're about to walk into. Usually you don't like receive a promise and then the attack happens. It usually happens right before you receive the promise. And the enemy does everything he can to discourage you from where you are about to go. The enemy knows that God is transforming you into the image of Jesus. The enemy knows that your latter will be greater than your former. The enemy knows that your best is yet to come. The enemy knows that he who began a good work in you is going to be faithful to complete it. But I've got good news for somebody in this room who might be in a fight right now. This attack did not work on Moses. It did not work on the early church. It didn't work with Jesus. Huh. And the attack that you are currently in right now will not work on you. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. I said you're going to make it. Elbow your neighbor. Say you're going to make it. You're going to make it. That neighbor was so stuck up. They're bougie. It's Friday night. Elbow your other neighbor. Say you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. He who began a good work in you will be faithful. faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Please do not quit now. Do not run now. Do not give up now. Don't stop going to church now. Don't get offended now. Don't go back to that person now. You are about to walk in some of the greatest things you have ever seen. Don't quit. And don't tell yourself, I'm too young. You know, when you're young, the devil tells you you're too young. And when you're old, he tells you you're too old. You're going to make it in Jesus' name. I'm going to give you four things real quick that you need on your journey of destiny. Number one, you need a God encounter. I said it. I believe in this. I don't just believe in good moments. I don't just believe in great music. I don't just believe in fantastic lighting or great communication. I believe in all of that. I believe that the church, that you, that the child of God can encounter their God. That you can meet with God. That you can meet with God face to face. That you can hear the voice of God. And I don't necessarily mean an audible voice, though I think that happens. What I've learned is that when God speaks to me, it's so loud, it's louder than audible, because it's so real in your spirit. Friend, I'm talking about a God encounter. Moses is in the desert. He's gotten to a place where he's alone, and it's here that he meets with God, with the presence of God. This is why you have to be in church. This is why you need praise and worship in your car. This is why you've got to read your Bible. It's not because you have to. It's because that is what can create an atmosphere where you can meet with God. Listen to whatever music you like. Do whatever you do. I'm not here to talk about that, but I am here to say that sometime in your day, you've got to put on some praise and some worship, and you've got to speak to God, and you've got to sing to God, and especially in this traffic, you've got to do it. And you've got to have, and we believe in this at this church, maybe you don't, that's okay, but you got to have some Hyundai Shundai moments. We're Pentecostals. Maybe you're new here. At the end of this service, we're going to pull out snakes and we're going to handle them. It's going to be all... jokes, but I got jokes. But we are going to push you over. It's going to be awesome. Just go down. There'll be a catcher. It'll be amazing. Don't fight it. This is my wife at prayer lines. I'm like this. Yes! That's me. All the church people said amen. Okay, everybody else like, where have I walked into? Is this football? Yeah, kind of. With some preachers. You need a God encounter. Let me say this. It is not until you know God that you will know yourself. It is not until you know God that you can be comfortable in your own skin. Listen, don't believe the lie that you have to go find yourself. I'm just going to go to Europe for 3 months and backpack, and just going to go on a journey and meditate, eat, pray, love. And whatever you find, you're not going to like. But when you meet God and you let God tell you who you are and you let God tell you about yourself and you let your creator tell you who you are, friend, that is where real confidence is. That's where real peace is. That's where real joy is. That's, you don't go out and find it, because whatever you find, you're not going to like. But whenever you meet with God, whenever you have a God encounter, whenever you hear the voice of God and the presence of God in worship and in the word and in services just like this and on Sundays and whenever you go to church, I'm telling you, it is in the God encounter that confidence rises, that self-esteem rises, that a God confidence comes upon you that says, I'm not like everybody else, and that's okay. I know who my God is, and I know who I am, and I will stand in the word of God for my life. And God says this, Moses, I'm the God of your fathers. God is connecting him back to covenant. He's saying, this is not your earthly father. This is not your former king Pharaoh. This is not even your father-in-law Jethro. I'm bringing you back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's saying, Moses, I'm connecting you back to your destiny. I'm connecting you back to the reason you are here. And whenever you have a God encounter, he connects you back to your roots. He connects you back to your creator. He connects you back to the very reason you are on the earth. He says, Moses, you're here. And you're not, you are no longer connected to what you've been connected to. I'm now connecting you to your destiny. And he has a God encounter. And catch this, with the fire of God. The holiness of God. The holiness of God. Think about this. The fire of God. When you have an encounter with the fire of God, it's the passion of God. It's the purity of God. It's the awe of God. Something comes upon you that says, this is real. Our God is not an idea. Our God is not a concept. Our God is not a historical rumor. Our God is not distant. This is the God that we serve. Recently, I was preaching at a service, and I gave people the opportunity at the end of the service to receive what the Bible calls the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what that is we believe that the Holy Spirit can come upon you, and that with that, many blessings come. One of them is you get a prayer language. You can speak in new tongues. It is a language that only you and that only God understands. The enemy doesn't understand it. It is supernatural. We could teach on weeks about it. But bottom line is, a woman came up who had bipolar her whole life, on medication her whole life, was married, had kids, but struggled with this her whole life. She came down to the front. I never prayed for her personally, but as we were praying, she fell down. Why did she fall? She couldn't stand. I don't know why. She fell down. And as she was laying down, she began to weep. She began to speak in tongues. She got up, and the first thought that hit her, it wasn't an audible voice, but the first thought that hit her was, I don't need this medication anymore. So she felt totally different, she said, than she's ever felt in her life. She went to the doctor the next day, or the next Monday, and said, I don't have bipolar anymore. I'm changed. God healed me. God set me free. And he said, you're crazy. You need to stay on it. This is a sign that you have bipolar. Hello? And she said, no, I'm different. She goes, my husband knows I'm different. My kids see that I'm different. Something has changed. I saw her then a year later. She said, I have not taken the medication since. I'm totally changed. I just saw her again 2 years later. A month ago, she said, it's been 2 years without medication. I am totally transformed. And it happened in the God encounter. It happened with, here's what fire does. It consumes. It consumes sickness. It consumes that secret sin. It consumes that insecurity. It consumes that fear. It consumes. It purifies. And when you have an encounter with God, you will never be the same. And when he has this God encounter, God says to him, verse 4, Moses, Moses. Moses means to be drawn out. He says, drawn out. Because remember, Moses was drawn out of the river. Now, I want you to know this, that it was just a few years earlier. Moses is here, by the way, because he's on the run. He's run away from Egypt for killing someone. God did not say murderer, murderer. He said Moses, Moses. I've said it 1,000 times and I'll say it again. The devil knows your name, but he will always call you by your sin. God knows your sin, but he will always call you by your name, by your destiny, by your purpose, by the call of, he says, drawn out. Moses, you have a call on your life. What are you doing? And I'm not here to talk about what you did wrong. I'm here to talk about your call. In the same way that you were drawn out of the river, it's now time to draw the people of Israel out of Egypt. You've got work to do. You've got a purpose. We're not going to beat you up. We're not going to talk about all the things you did wrong. It's time to move forward and walk in the thing that I have for you. Moses, Moses, and Moses was 80 years old. And for some of you, you say, I've done too many things wrong. I've gone too far. I'm too deep in this thing. But friend, if God would call Moses, he would call you tonight. And Moses responds, verse 4, he says, here I am. Because who you are is all you have to give to God. With my sin, here I am. With my fear, here I am. With my scars, here I am. With my issues, here I am. With my family problems, here I am. With my wandering and my wondering, here I am. Lord, here I am. And I want you to catch this, and if you're taking notes, this is so important. It is not about what you could have done. Because how many know in this room we could have all done it better? Hello? We just could have. No matter how good you think you've lived, we could have done it better. It's not about what you could have done. It's about what can God do right now. Well, I'm 22, but man, if I would have went to Bible college, man, I was so on fire for God, but then I got pregnant, and if I could have done that, and if I would have done that, we can't talk about what we could have done. The devil wants to keep you in shoulda, woulda, coulda. Huh. Don't live there. God doesn't even address that with Moses. He says, Moses, here's what we're going to do right now. And I'm telling you, God's talking to you right now about what you can do right now, about what he wants to do in your life right now, about how he wants to move you forward right now. It's not about what you could have done. It's about what God can do right now. This is why Joel chapter 2 says this, I will restore the years. Stop talking about the years that you wasted or the years that someone stole from you or the years that you went through and start declaring, God, you can restore the years. God, you can literally press fast forward on my life and move me to where I need to be. This is the God that we serve. Come on, anybody believe it? Come on, give the Lord a shout real quick. This is such good news. This is such good for anybody who's ever made a mistake and the enemy wants you to live in the mistake, I'm telling you, you can move forward. And then Moses does something so amazing in verse 5. He takes his shoes off. God says, take your shoes off for you are on holy ground. Holiness. Holiness is not perfection. Maybe you grew up like me in a crazy legalistic church. You know, you find yourself confessing to God every 3 seconds about something, you know. And all you think about is the thing you're confessing, and then you keep thinking about it, and then you just keep confessing it, and you just live in condemnation and shame. Maybe you grew up in a different form of Christianity, a different denomination that beat you up, and you just lived under that. I have friends who grew up in, you know, certain Christian groups that, you know, women couldn't wear makeup. Praise the Lord. Just keep moving. Holiness. Holiness is not you not wearing makeup. That's not holiness. I have a friend who grew up where you couldn't show your elbows. So when you wore short sleeves, they had to be longer than your elbows because I guess elbows are so lustful. I'm not sure. This is true. That's not holiness. I know people who don't wear makeup that are crazy, and I know people who wear makeup and they're normal. So it's not about that. You can show your elbows, it doesn't matter. You cover your elbows, that doesn't make you holy. Listen to me, holiness is not perfection. But hear me, but it is the decision to take off who you have been and take on the nature of Christ. Holiness is not legalism, but holiness is about surrender. Okay, now here's a big thought. Somebody tweet it or Facebook it or do something or Yelp it. Okay, here we go. Holiness is giving God the thing he's asking for when he asks for it. Okay? So when God says, give me that relationship, and you give it, that's holiness. When God says worship and you worship, that's holiness. When God says tonight you're not going to go out, I want you to read the word, that's holiness. When whatever it is, when God says give and you give, that's holiness. God said take your shoes off and he did it. Holiness is giving God the thing he's asking for when he asks for it. That is the life of holiness. It's a life of surrender that says, Lord, at your word, I will obey. God says, give me your shoes. But tonight, God may be saying, give me your temper. Give me your relationship. Give me your finances. Give me that prejudice. Give me that addiction. Give me that secret sin. Give me that fear. What is the thing that you've been holding on to that has literally become like an identity to you? And God's saying, right now, if God is asking for it, there will be grace and an empowerment to do it. That's the difference between holiness and legalism. If Pastor Luke comes up to me and he says, Jabin, God spoke to me that I need to shave the sides of my head. Maybe he did. And he goes, and you need to do the same thing. That's legalism. Because God didn't tell me to do that. Now, he may have told him, you know, I'm using this as a joke, right? But if God wouldn't tell him to do that. But I'm just saying, if he did, there would be no grace for me to, there's no power for me to do that. But when God asks you to do something, if you will obey, if you will surrender in that moment, there will be a grace to do it right then. But listen, if you disobey, the grace may not be there. So if God says tonight, I want you to give $100 in the offering, and you go, you know what, Lord, I'm going to do that Sunday on the Lord's Day. Praise the Lord. There is a, am I the only one who hasn't given? Okay. I'm just telling you all my secrets tonight, okay? If you'll do what God is asking right now, there's an anointing and a grace in the presence of God to surrender. But if you delay it tomorrow, that anointing might not be there to do it. Hey, I want you to, you need to end that relationship. Now, it might be painful, but there's a grace to do it. Lord, I'm going to do it on Monday, Jesus. Get me through the weekend. There won't be grace on Monday. This is so true. This is just so true. This is how it happens. But if you'll do it in the moment and you'll respond to God in that moment, there's a grace. The presence of God is there. And God says, if you'll give it to me. Now, because notice this, holiness happens in the presence of God. When you have a God encounter, there is a grace released to disconnect from who you've been and connect to who God wants you to be. Holiness is about transformation. Catch this. God says, Moses, you've been a shepherd and you've been a murderer. But from this day forward, you will be a military leader and you will be a prophet. But it happens in the presence of God. I've said it this way many times. The gift that God has given me, my gift, whatever your gift is, you might have a gift to make money. You might have a gift to sing. You might have a gift to whatever it is. You might have a gift to lead. You might have a gift to serve. You might have a whatever it is. That gift is God's gift to you. But the life you live is your gift to God. And that is holiness. That is holiness. We need the team to come up because I've got to wrap this thing up. Now, he's had a God encounter. You need a God encounter, but now you need to see the need. You need to see on this journey of destiny. You need a God encounter. You need holiness. Number three, you need to see the need. Look what God says in verse 7. I have seen and I have heard. Everybody say see. Everybody say heard. Okay, God says, I've seen it and I've heard it. Now I want you to know this. This is the God that we serve. We serve a God who sees and a God who hears. God sees the brokenness of our world and it moves him. We serve a God who cares. We serve a God who knows. We serve a God who can do miracles. We serve a God who can change lives. We serve a God who sees. He is not ignorant to what is happening in our world. He sees it. He hears it. And he is so moved by it that he says, I have come down. God sees what is happening. He hears what is happening. And it so moves him that he comes down. You have to see the need. You know what, Jabin, what am I called to? Well, what do you hate? What just irks you to such a thing that you just want to bring change and correction to it? That's usually part of what you're called to. What frustrates you? That's usually part of your call. What are you passionate about? That's usually part of your call. And you've got to see that need, and it's got to move you to a point where you can articulate it. That's part of your destiny. That's part of your journey. But then lastly, God says, I've come down. And number four, you have to go. Now this is, I don't know, you know, I think our generation, we're a little different, but I think everyone can struggle with this point. And this, I don't know if we like this, because God says, I've seen the need, I've heard the need, I've come down, now you go. Well, no, Lord, go fix it. And God says, no, you go. Well, I don't want to go. See, we can live in a place of complaining about what's wrong, or we can partner with heaven to change our world. God always has and always will partner with men and women to bring change to the earth. Ezekiel 22 says this, I have sought for a man. I have sought for a woman. I have sought for somebody to do something. Jesus came down, but what does he say? Therefore, go and make disciples. God sees, God hears, God comes down with empowerment, Holy Spirit empowerment, but then we have to go. Mother Teresa was working in the streets of Calcutta and reaching the orphans and the widows and the hungry and the poor, and an atheist man from the UK came and was doing an interview with her. And as he was doing this interview as a journalist, he finally stopped and he said, Teresa, Mother Teresa, I just have to ask, where is God? Where is God with the orphans? Where is God with the widows? Where is God with the hunger? Where is God in the poverty? Where is God in the disease? Mother Teresa, how can you say there is a God? Where is God in Calcutta? Mother Teresa smiled at him and said, God is anywhere that there is brokenness. She said, the question today is not where is God in Calcutta. The question is, where are you? Where are you with the orphans? Where are you with those in the hospital? Where are you with the impoverished? Where are you in the need? There are 27 million people in slavery right now in the earth. What are you doing about it? Now, we can shake our fist at heaven and say, why? Or we can say, God, what can I do to help? Millions of people need clean water. Why isn't there clean water? Why? Or we can, how much would it cost for us to get together and dig a well for somebody? See, but that puts responsibility back on us, and we don't always like that. But on this journey of destiny, eventually, you are going to have to do something about something. Willie George said this, many of us are praying for a move of God, and God is asking for a move of man. God will never do what you can do. Remember, Jesus is about to raise Lazarus from the dead. Does anybody remember he prayed, then he gave a commandment. Does anybody remember what it was? Roll away the stone. Okay. God will raise the dead, but we have to roll away the stone. God says, you do what you can do, and I will do what only I can do. It's called partnership. I'm so glad that this church, how old is this church now? 28. I'm so glad 28 years ago they weren't like, man, we really need a great church in the IE in San Bernardino. God, I hope you do something about it. No, God said, I've seen it. I've heard it. Now you go. It's I know I'm stepping on your toes, and I've got size 12. I've got big feet, so I know it hurts, but I'm telling you, what will you do? So let me just ask a few questions. What can you do? Not what can you not do? What can you do? You can't do everything, but you can do something. Can you pray? Can you encourage? Can you serve? Can you defend? Can you give? Can you invite somebody to church? Can you tell a friend about Jesus? God isn't asking you to change the world, but He is asking you to bring change to your world. I'll end with this, just to try to get at your place. Who's 20 to 22 in here? 20 to 22. Okay. Who's in their 20s? Let me see. Holler. Okay. When I was 22, I got married. And right before we got married, now we were so broke. Did I tell y'all how broke we were last time? Did I tell you this? How broke we were? Yeah, I was so broke. We shouldn't have got married. We were so broke. But we just thought, let me talk to young adults real quick. We just thought we could be broke and single, or we could be broke and... So we thought, let's be broke and at least have something, okay? Something money can't buy, praise the Lord. And so, amen. If you don't know what that is, boy, I don't know what to do. And so so we thought we're going to get married. I've joked and said it a million times, say it again. We were so poor that we would go to KFC to lick other people's fingers, okay? We were that poor. We were that broke. So we were broke. We really shouldn't have got married. We were so broke, but we got married. Right before we were getting married, we had $3,000 to our name, which was from our high school graduations from years before. $3,000 to our name. We did not have a bed. We did not have a couch. We did not have a TV. We had nothing. We didn't have money for a honeymoon, but that $3,000 was for our honeymoon. And just months before we got married, the Lord spoke to us to give away our life savings, $3,000. And that was a lot of money. It's a lot of money now. It was a lot of money then. But the Lord said, give it away. So we gave it away. It was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. I still remember handing the check to the pastor and like, you know, someone's thinking, well, you got to be a joyful giver. Well, God loves a cheerful giver, but He doesn't hate an uncheerful giver, okay? So don't judge me. But here's what holiness is. It's giving God what He's asking for when He's asking for it. So we gave it. I didn't wake up the next morning with a Bentley in my front yard. I didn't get a 100-fold return. None of that happened. I didn't check my bank account and there was all this money. None of that happened. But that day, God shifted our life. He broke the power of fear, the fear of lack, the fear of money, the fear of not enough. He broke a spirit of poverty over our head that said, $3,000 is, you know, this huge amount. And I understand it is, but it was like God to us, you know. And we broke that in our life. I've never feared a financial situation since then. I've never feared, and we've never lacked. We didn't become millionaires, but we've never lacked. Because that's part of the journey. Part of the journey is God saying, I've seen, I've heard, but now you go. In other words, now you do what I've called you to do. Just last year, I was preaching and a young couple came up to me in Alabama. And this cute little white couple that was straight up from Alabama walked up to me and they're like, man, that was a great message. Praise God. You know that? I said, where are y'all from? They went, China. And they said, China. And I went, y'all are not from China. And they're like, well, we're from Alabama, but now we're missionaries in China. I don't know why I'm doing their voice, but it just sounds about right. So I went, no. So I said, and it just came out of my heart. And I'm telling you, when you begin to walk in this journey of destiny, I'm telling you, God just ordained stuff. And I went, how much does that cost? And they said, what do you mean? I said, how much does it cost a month to be a missionary in China? And they said, $3,000 a month. And it just came right out of my mouth. I said, okay, I'll do 1 month. Now, 10 years ago, $3,000 was every penny we had. 10 years later, I'm still walking in holiness because 10 years later, God said, give him $3,000. And I could give to God what he's asking for when he's asking for it. And I gave it. And I think we have overcomplicated this. How do I walk in my destiny? How do I walk in all God has for me? How do I find my spouse? How do I do this? And it's daily obedience. It's just daily God saying, okay, here's what I want. It's an impression. It's a thing in your gut. It's a walk with God daily in the Word, daily in His presence. And I'm telling you, you begin to walk in this thing. And our generation is maturing later and later. We're getting married later and later. We're walking in what we should have walked in years earlier, but it's taking longer and longer. Why? I believe so much of it is just, we just don't want to just daily walk with God. But God says, go. Don't complain, go. Don't gripe, go. Don't talk about what isn't happening, go. Don't talk about what God isn't doing, go. And if you will go, God ends with this promise in verse 12. He said, Moses, I will be with you. It is in the step of obedience that all of heaven backs up Moses. And I think many times we're saying, okay, God, if you'll do this, I'll take a step. And God's saying, take a step, and I'll meet you. And I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what, you know, shoes you need to take off. I'm not talking about your real shoes. I don't know what you need to separate from. I don't know what, but I'm just telling you, I feel like there's a grace tonight that you can make a decision. And you don't have to be all super awesome, super spiritual giant in the faith. Because Moses did this with fear and trembling the whole way. But he did it. And if you'll say yes to your own personal journey of destiny, God will meet you there. I want everyone to stand. And as you stand, if you feel comfortable, I just want you to shoot up your hands towards heaven. And you know, in your own life, this is not about condemnation, okay? But I want you to think about what God is calling you to, and you know it. You know it. You know it. You know it. And I want you to just begin to talk to the Lord in your own heart. And I just, in your own heart, I want you to say yes to the Lord. Miracles begin with a yes. Breakthrough begins with a yes. Your destiny, this journey, is all about a yes to Jesus. We're not going to beat ourselves up about what we didn't do. We're not going to talk about what we could have done. But from this day forward, Lord, we just say yes and we surrender. And Lord, whatever you're calling us to, we say yes to that. Whatever you're leading us into, we say yes to that. And God, I pray for this group of young adults right here. I pray that they would literally be the engine of this church. I pray that they would be the energy of this church. That these would not be a group that says, I need to be fed, I need to be fed, I need to be fed. But it would be a group that would say, where can I serve, Pastor? Where can I help, Pastor? What can I do, Pastor? I'm telling y'all, in your 20s and in your 30s and in your late teens, I'm telling you, give your life to God when you have energy. Give your life to God right now. Give everything you got right now to the Lord and to your local church. Give it to the Rock. I'm telling you, God will meet you there. God will bless you there. God will encounter you there. God will give you the spouse there. God will give you the direction there. God will give you the breakthrough there. I'm telling you, stop chasing a dream. Start seeking God and let God give you a dream. I'm telling you, this is how it works. It isn't glamorous, but it's powerful. It isn't sexy, but it's the way that God works. He works when a young a person, when a young man, when a young woman just says, I'm giving everything to Jesus, I'm giving everything to my house, I'm giving everything to my city, here I am, Lord, whatever I can do. And I'm telling you, it's in that moment that God meets you and God blesses you and God empowers you and the fire of God comes upon your life and the favor of God comes upon your life. I'm telling you, friend, He did it for me. He will do it for you. He doesn't just do it for the talented or the gifted or the extraordinary. He does it for you because you are no ordinary child. The gift and the grace of God is upon your life. And Holy Spirit, I pray for your empowerment in this season, for this season, to move forward and to step in everything we have. In Jesus' name, let me pray for one group of people. I'm gonna pray for people who are not married and then people who are married. Who is not married? Holler. Let me see you. Okay. Okay. You can put your hands down. Listen. Seek the Lord and serve the house of God and trust that in the journey of walking with God and serving the house, the right person will come right alongside you. I'm telling you, it'll happen. And then when it happens, fellas, have enough courage to ask her out. Amen. And don't go Dutch. Pay for the whole date. Amen. And if there's no chemistry, there's no chemistry. And keep serving the house of God. I'm telling you the truth. You're not, when you say yes to a date, you're not saying yes to a ring. But don't get so caught up in that. Serve the house of God. Trust. And then, because listen to me, there is something worse than being single. It's marrying the wrong person. Holler at your boy, okay? Trust the Lord. And don't get into dumb stuff. Okay, there's no junior hires in here. Don't get caught in dumb sexual stuff that you get locked in with somebody and you feel guilty about it and shamed about it. And now because you've done things, it's like, well, I guess we have to get married. You don't want to marry someone because you have to get married because that's what I guess we have to do because we did something. Stop all that foolishness. Give everything you got to Jesus. Give everything you've got to the house of God. Serve this house. If this is your church, serve this church. And then trust the Lord. Married people, let me see your hands, married people. All my married people. I'm married. August will be 10 years. Praise the Lord. I know I look 12. 32. Married people, serve the Lord with your spouse. Get involved in the church with your spouse. Never make the church and your family a competition. No, we are a family that gets to serve and follow God in the house of God. And I want to pray for both groups, and I just want to pray for a fresh wave of grace. Any new parents? Any new parents? Any new parents? Yeah? Like 2 years old and younger kind of vibe, you know? I want to pray for that. I want to pray for grace for you. If you got kids, young kids. They were like so tired it took them a while to they're like, didn't sleep last night, preacher. Okay, yeah. I'll pray for you. Maybe you got him on a leash right now. I don't know. You're like, yeah, he's right here. I'll pray for you. Is it okay? I'm kind of sharing my heart. It's Friday night. I've totally preached way too long, but now I'm here, and I just feel like, well, I've already done it, so now let's just, I've already written a bad Yelp review. Write a Yelp review about me. He preached too long. There's grace to do it tonight, okay? Write a Yelp review about me. Okay, I want to pray for you. I'm in a season right now where I just so, this age group, I just so believe in you. And I know just the stuff you're going through and this, there's a yearning in you to make it for the big break instead of just the daily faithfulness. And I'm all about The Voice and American Idol and reality TV shows and all that stuff. And maybe you are going to have a big break. Or maybe, like 99% of us, you're going to hustle and you're going to be faithful and you're going to love Jesus and you're going to walk with God and it's going to be fantastic. I'm just being honest. Now, dream your dream. Dream your dream. But while you're dreaming, serve. While you're dreaming, serve. I think I am where I am today. I'll just say this and I'm going to pray, I promise. I think I am where I am today just by what I would call just attrition. I just kind of outlasted other people. I kind of just kept serving when other people stopped. And I just kept reading my Bible when other people, and I just kept loving my wife when other people didn't love their wives. And I just kept saving when other people didn't want to save and they went and blew money. And I just didn't get in credit card debt. I just didn't do it. People are like, wow, look at that car. Wow, it must be nice to be you. I've been saving my whole life. I've been working since I was 14. I don't have a dime of debt on my life. And it's not because I'm rich. I just read the Bible every day. And I just love my wife and I only sleep with her. For real. And we're just in the house of God whenever the doors are open. So it's just and I'm just telling you, friend, and God just and He just takes you on a journey. And here's what's cool. Maybe you have a dream. I'm going to be a professional athlete. And maybe you become that. Or maybe you don't become that. It doesn't. All that stuff doesn't really matter because you're just so, you're so satisfied in Christ that whether you are a millionaire or a thousandaire or a hundredaire or a dollarair, even if you're the person at Denny's like, oh, I don't know where my wallet went. Oh, I don't. Yeah, we know you. Whatever. Whatever your financial lane is, as Kevin Hart would say, but you can just be satisfied in Christ because you're doing what you know you ought to do. When God asks for something, you give it to Him. When God says something, you obey. You're in the house. I'm just telling you, and you just live a life of joy. You just live a life of joy and peace. Okay, let me pray for you, and I promise I'm done. Father, I pray for every person in this room. Pray, first of all, for these who are still single. They're not married yet. Lord, I pray for strength. I do pray for self-control. And Lord, I pray for patience, that they would wait for the right person to come into their life. And that in the meantime, they would seek You with all of their heart. That they would love You with all of their heart. That God, in this season of singleness, it wouldn't be a season of loneliness, but it would be a season of aloneness with You. I pray for every married couple. Lord, every young married couple, I just have so much compassion, Lord. Our culture and the spirit of this day is just so anti the family, the biblical family. And it's just doing everything it can to try to break us up. And God, I just pray fresh strength into every marriage. And I pray that You would give every man the courage to lead and to serve and to pray and to repent and to do whatever it takes to lead his home the way You would want him to lead it. And I pray for every woman that You would give her grace and even a spirit of forgiveness and a spirit of love and a nurturing heart on this journey. And Lord, we're all on a journey of destiny. We're on this thing with You. So I pray for the grace of God to lead us and to guide us. Lord, as You told Moses, You said, I will be with you. And we know You are with us. You will never leave us or forsake us. Holy Spirit, hold our hand and take us where You want us to go. I pray that every mountain would bow down, every valley would rise up, every crooked path would be made straight, and that, Lord, we would walk in everything You have for us. In Jesus' name. Come on, everyone said amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a shout. Amen.